Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's very special guest is therapist, relationship specialist, working in private practice at New York Therapy Suite with locations in Manhattan as well as Long Island, Diana Kramer. She's with us today to talk about communication in relationships and how we can solve those issues. So welcome, Diana.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey.
So, Diana, do you believe that partners always have communication? What are the signs that the two partners, when they walk into your office, actually have a communication problem? Is it always a communication problem that brings them to you in the first place?
I think most couples walk into the office believing that they have a communication problem. And one of the first things that I have to do is usually explain to them that they are communicating very well with each other. And what I mean by that is typically if they're experiencing problems, what people understand to be communication is actually not what they think it is. So, for instance, if your partner is angry with you and they aren't speaking with you, somebody might come into my office and say, we're having communication problems, when actually they're communicating with each other very well. Their partner, through silence, is communicating his or her anger. And this is something that I try to explain off the bat, which is that communication comes in all forms, and maybe the message that you're receiving is not a pleasant one, but it is a message nonetheless.
So if your partner is communicating this anger with silence, what should somebody do? What should somebody say? Is there anything that you can say to someone if they're angry? Do you have to just kind of let them be? Or what do you do if you're getting the silent treatment?
I think this sort of is different to case. One of the things that I believe, one of the theories that I take and do my work from, suggests that depending on the person, their preference for interaction with their partner is different. And I think learning what your partner's preference is and doing your best to respect it is, especially in times when things are not going well 100%, I think that definitely contribute to a better resolution of issues that come up with couples. And these issues are natural. So, even with natural issues, I think it's something that can benefit couples to learn about their partner's interaction style and what really suits them. On the other hand, there are sometimes circumstances where a person's preference for using silence when they're angry may be unhealthy. And in those situations, it's going to be on your partner and you to work towards a balance where your partner becomes less dependent on silence when they're angry, and you become probably slightly more empathic or respectful to your partner's tendency to be silent when they're angry.
And now, do you feel as if there comes a point where couples, they have problems, they just say, kind of throw in the towel, not necessarily for divorce, but they become just so distanced from the issues, their problems, they just are disinterested and kind of go on their lives, or, with almost without being in a relationship? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they just kind of, it's gone on for so long. It's just like, whatever. It's just, I'm an individual and you're an individual. And so how do you bridge that gap? Is that something that you can ever stitch back together when those problems have gone on for so long?
Absolutely. I think that this is actually one of the core issues you see with most couples, with couples who come into therapy for problems or couples who don't come into therapy for problems. You're basically seeing that most people have a tendency when things are bad to lash onto each other or to become very distant from one another. And most of the time, this is a red flag for the fact that you might be having some underlying issues, totally normal issues that are things you have to work through. And with a therapist, you can basically work through these issues to check in about what this distance is about, how you're going to resolve the distance. And a lot of that has to do with getting things on the table that have not been discussed or have been pushed, as you said, kind of out of the picture. And that takes time and that takes work. But a lot of people I've seen that have been willing to do that have improved their relationships dramatically and really increased the intimacy and really increased the closeness between each other, especially because they're remembering what it was when they first started their relationships most of the time and comparing it. And I think that a lot of people, when they embrace the fact that relationships like anything else can evolve, that doesn't necessarily mean they'll be the same thing they were before, but they can be beautiful and they can be just as happy as they were, just a completely different new thing.
Now, Diana, what do you think if one partner is oblivious to problems? I mean, you've probably experienced this with some of your clients. You know, someone who's just completely oblivious. Oh, yeah, everything is fine. Oh, yeah, we're great. We're the happiest couple in the world. Meanwhile, the other person is stewing inside, not being heard, and just kind of having to go through the motions of daily life. Do you ever have that dynamic where one person is just blinded by it all and is not willing to approach the issue, and the other person is like a time bomb?
Absolutely. This is actually a very, very frequent thing that happens with couples where one person takes on the role of that stewing, angry, silent type, and the other one takes on the type of we're good and I'm oblivious and we're going to keep this moving, and I really just not addressing the issues that are very real. I see it all the time, and basically this is the crux of the therapy work, is that we have to lay it on the table in such a way that the person starts to basically unravel from this reality that things are good, or basically living in this facade that things are good, and that it would be easier not to address the issues than to address the issues, which is absolutely false. In the long run, it will not make things better at all. So I think that when two people are in the room with that situation, the first thing that we really have to do is work through this person's obliviousness, and really, their intention to stay sort of in the dark about things. And a lot of the time, the way I see that happening is typically when the stewing person stops stewing. And what I mean by that is when that person basically makes a decision to stop being the person who cares, you quite often see that the person who acts like they don't know anything is wrong, all of a sudden the lights kind of come on and they realize something. They have to act up at that point, basically.
And you talked before about intimacy, Diana. What would you define intimacy to be for a couple? And what happens when that's missing from your relationship?
A relationship won't last without intimacy. So to answer your second question first, the relationship will not last without intimacy. What I mean by that is intimacy is, as far as I understand the definition, it's honesty. And what that means is that both partners will end up becoming honest with themselves and with each other about who they are. So a lot of couples, I think, notice, I think most people can identify with getting into a relationship. You feel a certain way. You think you know a person. And then a few months in or a few years in, you start to get to know this person in a way that you didn't really think they were when you first met them. This is the beginnings of intimacy. So I think people often think that intimacy is closeness. Intimacy is, you know, having somebody who loves you. I think intimacy really is honesty. I think those other things can be defined as closeness. And I'm, of course, taking all this work from theory that I've used to do my own work. And basically following those theories, if these people are working on their intimacy, what it means is basically learning to either embrace and evolve with the reality in front of you, or to not embrace and evolve with it. And if you do not embrace or evolve with it, chances are you're going to remain trying to hold on to this idea you had, this fantasy that you had about the person in the beginning, and it will not last for that reason.
Well, Diana, you've given us a lot of great information about communication, stewing, right? Not the food variety, you know, and all of this, and intimacy for our listeners. And they can learn more about you and your services at the toll-free number 1-800-707-8095, extension 3, or you can also find out more about Diana Kramer on the practice website newyorktherapysuite.com. That's nytherapysuite.com, where you can access both of her offices. So thank you, Diana, for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is presented by Annie Dennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Dennings PR, and the creator of Jenningswire Online Magazine. Jenningswire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit Jenningswire.com and discover the podcaster or the blogger that's just perfect for you. Till next time.